वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
We'll chant chapter 7, verses 11 to 15.
Balam Bhalavatam Asmi, Balam Bhalavatam Asmi, Kamaraga Vivarjitam, Kamaraga Vivarjitam, Dharma Viruddho Bhuteshu, Dharma Viruddho Bhuteshu, कामोस्मि भरतर्षभ कामोस्मि भरतर्षभ बलं बलवतामस्मि कामराग विवर्जितं धर्मा विरुद्धो भूतेषु कामोस्मि भरतर्षभ। ये चैव सात्विका भावाः ये चैव सात्विका भावाः राजसास्तामसाश्च ये राजसास्तामसाश्च ये मत्त एवेति तान् विद्धि मत्त एवेति तान् विद्धि न त्वहं तेषु ते मयि न त्वहं तेषु ते मयि। ये चैव सात्विका भावाः राजसास्तामसाश्च ये मत्त एवेति तान् विद्धि न त्वहं तेषु ते मयि। त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः एभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् एभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् मोहितं नापि जानाति मोहितं नापि जानाति मामेभ्यः परमव्ययम् मामेभ्यः परमव्ययम्। त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः एभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् मोहितं नापि जानाति मामेभ्यः परमव्ययम्। दैवी एषा गुणमयी दैवी एषा गुणमयी मम माया दुरत्यया मम माया दुरत्यया मामेव ये प्रपद्यन्ते मामेव ये प्रपद्यन्ते मायामेतां तरन्ति ते मायामेतां तरन्ति ते। दैवी एषा गुणमयी मम माया दुरत्यया मामेव ये प्रपद्यन्ते मायामेतां तरन्ति ते। न मां दुष्कृतिनो मूढाः न मां दुष्कृतिनो मूढाः प्रपद्यन्ते न राधमाः प्रपद्यन्ते न राधमाः मायया परतज्ञानाः मायया परतज्ञानाः आसुरं भावमाश्रिताः आसुरं भावमाश्रिताः। न मां दुष्कृतिनो मूढाः प्रपद्यन्ते न राधमाः मायया परतज्ञानाः आसुरं भावमाश्रिताः।
In verse number 7 of this chapter, he said, he gave the example of a necklace, a mala, where beads are visible, but the string that is keeping them all together is not visible. So like that he said, I am there in everything and manifest. In fact, the very form, the very shape, everything of the mala is because of the string. So therefore he says, you forget it. You, when you see the mala, you get enchanted by the design, the variety, the shape, you know, all that, the color. But you forget the string. So from 8 till 11, he's giving various pointers for me. Shift your focus from what is manifest to what is unmanifest. That is all philosophy is, that is all spirituality is all about. If you learn to be able to tune into the unmanifest, while going through the contact with the manifest, you learn spirituality. You learn philosophy. The problem is, when we are in contact with the manifest, we are lost with the tamasha of the manifestation. Right? When we are studying it there, but while we are in touch with the manifestation, we are lost in mind. That is what we talk now. So the last pointer that we saw in verse number 11, a very interesting pointer. He said, Balam Balavatamasmi Kama Raga Vivarjitam. I am the strength in the strong. What kind of strength? That strength which is devoid of Kama and Raga. Which is free from Kama and Raga. That is, which is free from desire and attachment. Now, the real strength is independence. All dependence is weakness. Real strength is independence. As long as you have little dependence, you are weak. If you want to understand that in modern context, especially what is happening in India, when the election happens and the results are announced, you want to know whether you are having absolute majority or you are dependent on some small parties to form a government. That fellow is giving support to MLAs, 3 MLAs support, but he will be dictating terms to you. Yeah. Otherwise he will every now and then threaten, I'm pulling, right? So you are not really strong. Why? Because of your dependence. So that's what he's saying. Balam Balavatamasmi Kama Raga Vivarjitam. So when your dependence on the world is completely gone, then you are totally with the Atma. In such people you can see the divinity expressing fully. Similarly, when there is little bit of demand, little bit of selfishness, then you have to, however strong you may be in all areas, but you have some expectation, some dependency, you are not really strong. They say in English, the strength of the chain is its weakest link. So if you have any dependence, you are not really strong. So in other words, what he says is, he is not criticizing the using of the material world. Please understand this. The Vedanta is never against the use and contact with the world. Vedanta simply says, don't be dependent on them. Why you should not be dependent on them? And for what you should not be dependent on them? For the infinite bliss, don't be dependent on the passing, fleeting things. That's all it is. If you are wise, you will not be dependent on passing, fleeting things for infinite bliss. So he says, Balam Balavatamasmi Kama Raga Vivarjitam. So if you want to really see the self, then you have to see the self in the areas where there is total independence. There is zero selfishness. So when you rid yourself of selfishness and dependence, you will see the self within manifesting more and more. In fact, in this verse, there seems to be contradiction that Lord Krishna, in Lord Krishna's words, when he gives the second line. First line he said, I am strength which is devoid of desire. In the second line he says, I am desire, which is not contrary to dharma. First line he says, Balam Balavatamasmi Kama Raga Vibarjita, devoid of desire. Second line he says, I am very desire. What kind of desire? Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi. I am the kama which is which is sanctioned by dharma, which is in line with dharma, which is not contrary to dharma. Are you with me? Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarishabha. What is this dharma which is not contrary to desire, which is not contrary to dharma?
Good desires, which are not selfish.
Anybody? Good desire without selfish.
Selfless desire.
Selfless. Don't say good desire. Good desire. You must go back and listen to this verse. We went about dealing with this verse, I think, almost one full class. Because it's a very important verse. See, I've talked about it many times. The clue I would like to give you is Dhara. No, I say Dhara, what comes to your mind?
Dhara.
Any ordinary desire, when you have desire for an object, what happens? Your thoughts run outwards. Really? But if you can have a desire, even though you have desire, but your thoughts don't run outward without your awareness, then it becomes desire that is soaked in dharma. In other words, if you have a desire to paint, because that's your nature, that's your prakriti, right? Each one of us has certain swadharma, right? That desire to paint, that natural instinct which you have, like that, many things are there. But while you function expressing those desires, you are not losing touch with your inner self. Then it is not contributing to dharma. Because if you do any action, in that action, for example, eating, you cannot be a glutton.
You cannot be
a glutton. You will be eating. Because naturally in your body there is hunger. But you are eating so consciously, the moment you feel that you are full, you will not eat one more sweet or one more dish. Because that desire, hunger, is underlined by dharma.
Why?
Dharma. Consciousness. Awareness. In a relative sense, if you know that we are about 10 people living together in a house and the food on the table is for all the 10 and you are aware that everybody needs to eat from this, right? Then you have become so conscious now. You will not take more than what is necessary for you. Isn't it? But if you have lost yourself in that desire, the object, the dish that has been cooked, it happens to be your favorite dish and you have lost it, then you have lost the awareness about the other 9. You indulge and you eat more. The moment that consciousness is underlining the desire, you will not step out. So he says, even desire which is soaked in dharma, I am. So first he said, I am strength in the strong, devoid of desire and attachment, zero attachment. So from this we can learn that all our activities and engagements in life should be that I go about expressing my nature, but in none of them I depend. That's all. That is all. It's easier said than done. So what do you have to do? You have to increase awareness. Till then, you can maintain certain external conditions. But that is only temporary. The external conditions, disciplines, it's like a military regime. In military regime, you cannot do. It's done. Like a ration system, let us say. You will not get more than that. This much only you will get. There is some external, here it is internal. The moment you have that awareness, you will not step out of it. So it is dharma viruddho bhuteshu tamosmi bharatarsham. In fact, when the energy is getting dissipated while you are functioning on the desire, that is against dharma. But when you do actions giving direction to your desires with total consciousness, action starts energizing you. Today, in the modern context, we only know of action which, having done, we become tired. If you are doing actions like how we talked about here, you will still have more energy. Like the dynamo, the more it runs, the more it can, it gets energized. Like in the car, if you are going away and you are not starting the car at all for so many days, you come back, the battery gets depleted. But while you are running it, it gets charged. So that's what he is saying here. If you understand this philosophy that Lord Krishna is talking about, he is not against the karma. But the karma needs to be underlined by Rama. That's all. When karma is underlined by Rama, it is not contrary to dharma. See, if you interpret this as, like he says here, it's in the order of Vedas. Vedas actually don't say do this, don't do this. Vedas are not do's and don'ts kind of a text. Generally they may say. But the situation changes. So accordingly things change. Like you have to drive on the left hand side in India. You go to certain other countries, you have to drive on the right hand side. But in these two, very important is keeping yourself awake while driving. Whether you drive on the left hand side, whether you drive on the right hand side, the most important thing is what? Being awake while driving. Isn't it? So that is why when Mataji said good desires in many contexts means you are on the right side but sleeping. Would you like to be driven by such drivers? They will not go on the right side. They will only be on the left side when you have to drive in India. But they will be lost somewhere. They are not alert. Even then that is against dharma. This is what the subtle point we need to understand. Many times, for example, I think that day when I discussed, I gave the example of Valmiki. Valmiki was apparently in wrong profession. He was a robber. Bandit. Okay?
Yeah.
But he jumped into perfection. The so-called good people never jump out of goodness into perfection, into self-realization. Why? They are within the frame of goodness, but they are never awake. I am not suggesting that you be bad. Don't get me wrong. What I am trying to tell you is, the most important thing is what? Not driving on the left or right, driving on the right. That keeps changing. Isn't it? Society changes, many things change. But in all this, you must maintain dharma, which is being awakened, being aware, soaked in the truth, identifying with the self and functioning. What Swamiji calls this objectivity. Even the so-called good action, when objectivity is lost, it's not dharmic. The interesting thing is, now the question then comes in your mind, then can I do objectively wrong actions? Try, you can't do. I've said this many times. With awareness, you will not fall into the pit. With awareness, you cannot overeat. You try. Keep trying. With awareness, you cannot take more than what is necessary for you. You will not. So therefore, dharma does not preach do's and don'ts. Dharma wants to increase the awareness level in you. Are you with me? Till you you develop the awareness level in you, there are certain disciplines at the external level given. That is why we say, for a sannyasi, there are no rules and regulations. Why? The person is having internal awareness. He doesn't require any external discipline. See, when you are such a good driver and you have the internal discipline, you would respect the signal. Even the signal is not there, you will allow the other fellow to go and you pass by. Nobody needs to be checking you, isn't it? So till you develop that, till you become totally mature, certain disciplines are given. But they are not do's and don'ts. Simply you get lost in do's and don'ts. Many people get lost in this do's and don'ts. In the second chapter itself, Lord Krishna said, for me there is nothing to be done. For me there is nothing to be done means what? There are no rules and regulations. There is no responsibility for me. I'm a free spirit. And yet I do. In fact, when you become free spirit, you will be contributing. Even though there is no necessity for you to contribute. That's the interesting thing. You can be good without awareness. You can be bad without awareness. But once you become aware, you cannot be bad. This is very interesting.
In case when they say Ravan was so learned and he was so aware, so how was he being
bad? He had no awareness.
But he was such a learned person.
Learned person, many people are lacking awareness. You go on, just don't forget about everything else. Just go on the road and see. Well-educated fellows. In fact, I see many school buses and college buses. You know, sometimes when you're traveling, you see from the bus through the window, lots of kachda thrown. College bus. Pepsi can will fall. I saw one, you know, I don't, it's very interesting thing I saw in Chennai once. One fellow was going in motorbike, another fellow from the bus was spitting and he spit on him. And the fellow who spit looked like educated guy only. So learnedness has got nothing to do with awareness. They are two different things. So that's what we are saying. What you require is not just education. What you require is awakening along with that education. That's the true purpose of education. It's one is to make you think. That is one aspect only. Another aspect is it should kindle your awareness from within. You need the knowledge of yourself. But this is something which a lot of people don't understand. So Ravan was extremely learned, but he was given into his desires. Because that learning was not digested. See, in the academy, Swamiji teaches 3 weeks, and 3 weeks he travels for his lectures. Those 3 weeks he gives us time to reflect. So I keep on saying, sometimes in between when there is no class, doesn't mean there is no class. What you need to understand is, you need to reflect. If you don't reflect, nothing will happen. Class is only a temporary thing. The daily reflection, which will help you to increase your consciousness. So he says, I am desire, but in order, in line with Vedas. Veda means knowledge. In line with knowledge means awareness. Dharma. Dharma always looks at it from the larger picture. Desire, which is subservient to the larger picture. That desire am I. Already in the third chapter, Lord Krishna talked about loka sangraha. I have a major of kshatriya. Arjuna, you have a major of kshatriya. But your major of kshatriya should be in line with the larger interest. But today what is happening? A smart fellow takes advantage of the entire society. That is where the problem comes. He is so intelligent, right? He is so smart and intelligent that he takes the other people for a ride. Then it's different from what Lord Krishna is trying to say. Always thy will be done, not my will be done. So your nature should be in line with the total. It should not disturb the Dharma Chakra. Everything that you do, when you understand that you are part of the total, unnecessarily will you travel in the car? Nowadays they talk about carpool and all that. Right? A country like Singapore is modeled on this, right? And a car that will cost you here ₹1 million, same car in Singapore will cost you maybe 2.5 million. Why?
Don't discourage shoes of car.
And then what they have done simultaneously, they have given you a very good public bus system and metro system. Because you will not unnecessarily disturb the ecology. Your desires are in line with the total. Please understand that. Vedanta is never against your desires. But the desire will always say, okay, this desire I have, but is it in line with the total? Then automatically you are driving the desire, and desires are not driving you. When desires drive you, it is Dhara. When you drive desire, it is Radha. That's all it is. That's all he's saying here. Problem is not the desire. In fact, desires will be there as long as you are alive. Whether you call it Prarabdha or Sanchita, it will be there. He is going to say that, he is going to explain that further more in the next verse. So let's go to the next verse. Ye chaiva sattvika bhavaha, ye chaiva sattvika bhavaha, rajasastamasashaye, rajasastamasashaye, matta eveti tamvitti, matta eveti tamvitti, natvaham teshu temaye, natvaham teshu temaye, ye chaiva sattvika bhavaha, rajasastamasashaye, matta eveti tamvitti, and whatever natures that are there, sattvika, rajasika, tamasika, these know as from me alone. I am not in them, but they are in me. With these kind of verses Lord Krishna speaks, you cannot go to sleep. That is one of the reasons why he speaks like this. Not only Lord Krishna, any yogi will speak like this. Because these verses are so reflective in themselves. It will take you so deep. That is why he promised in the beginning, he said, I will give you both knowledge and wisdom. This verse, for example, or previous verse and this verse for the matter, this thought flow that he is explaining, he will take you closer to the self. When he says, he is putting the words in such a way, what is he saying? Whatever natures that are there, what? Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, they are all from me. I am not in them, they are in me. What is he trying to say?
I am in control.
Control means what?
I'm aware. I'm in charge of them. They don't take care, charge of me.
Who's the
I take charge. I am Krishna.
Krishna?
I am me. The self. The soul.
Me. Anybody.
The Atman. The person.
Yeah. Think about it.
Like all the gunas are in him, but he is not in all the gunas, like the tamas and all that. He is not in them. But they are all, because everything is, he is all pervading. So he is in all the gunas also. But these gunas are not there.
He is aware that they are a part of him, but he is not driven by
them. He is who?
Brahman. Take the example of big circle and small circle. Within the big circle, there are so many small circles. So who is speaking here with reference to this big circle and small circle example? Big circle is speaking. So what is the big circle saying?
Everything is in me.
The small circles are in me. I am not
in them.
In them. Who is saying?
Personality.
Big circle is speaking. When you talk about this verse, remember this example. It becomes a little clearer. Big circle is talking and saying, in me there are all these small circles. And the small circles are in me. I am not in them. And there is a particular reason for which he says this, because if you argue from one angle, little portion of that big circle is in that small circle now.
Correct.
So this statement is not entirely correct also. But this purpose, this statement is made by Lord Krishna purposely to make us understand certain things that he is saying, because he has already promised, I will give you wisdom. So what he is saying is, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, meaning the Prakriti, the Guna, Prakriti, nature, is there in self-realized souls also. Meaning, Ramana Maharishi also had hunger. Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, body also will feel hungry every now and then. Are you with me? Prakriti is in Paramatma. Are you with me? In other words, even when you reach Paramatma, when you reach the Supreme, inside the Prakriti will function. Okay? But he says, they are in me, I am not in them. Meaning, when the Prakriti expresses, I am not lost in it, I still remain intact. That is the basic difference between people like Krishna, Ramana Maharishi, Ram Tirtha, Vivekananda, any soul, Jesus Christ, whomsoever you can conceive of as self-realized soul. What is the difference? They also, in them also the Prakriti functions. Are you seeing? Prakriti is in Paramatma, but Paramatma is not in Prakriti, meaning those who are given into Prakriti, when Prakriti expresses through them, they are lost in Prakriti, they do not have the identification with the Paramatma. But in the case of people like Krishna, they will express their Prakriti. Krishna was born as a Kshatriya. Don't forget that. Lord Ram was born as a Kshatriya. So their Prakriti will function like that. The Prakriti will function. The past momentum is there. Business vasana will come. Because from childhood days you will be doing business. Are you with me? So even after realization, the nature will continue.
But this will be underlined with awareness.
That's why he says, they are in me, I am not in them. He doesn't even want to talk about that other angle where that little portion of the big circle is in the small circle. So he doesn't want to say, I, the self being all pervading, it is there in Prakriti also, in a way. Instead of he saying, I am not in them, he could say, I am in them also. He is not wrong. But the problem is, the moment we say God is there in material world also, we are as it is running after the material world, then we will start justifying and say God is everywhere, so I am in the material world. He is very, very careful. See, when yogis use words, it's unbelievable. It comes from the depth. Are you with me? So he's not wrong if he says I am also in Prakriti. Because Atma being all pervading, it is there also. isn't it? That little portion of big circle is in small circle also. But he is purposely saying, I am not in them. That is basically the difference between a yogi and a non-yogi.
The yogi is not stuck in the circle.
Yes.
And the manifestation is different. The manifestation of prakriti is different in realized souls, and they are in control and...
Exactly. So prakriti will come. When prakriti comes, see, we will be all good souls as long as the vasana has not manifested. The moment prakriti from within manifests, what happens? Paramatma in me is lost to me. We all talk as if we are good souls. We will only know how much goodness is there in us when an opportunity or situation strikes us. You remember that quotation I said from that Life of Pi? It says, hunger will teach you what you did not know about yourself. You will talk about goodness and everything today. When you are pushed into such hunger, such situation, hunger will teach you what you did not know about yourself. It's an amazing quotation. So he says in him also the prakriti is there. Take for example Sage Vyasa. Are you with me? In the Mahabharata story, he used his karma for the sake of the lineage. Are you with me? Prakriti is there in him also. But when prakriti comes out of people like Sage Vyasa, they, the Paramatma is not lost. It's still there. If you understand this, this is exactly the whole thing that he is trying to say in Gita is this. Krishna. So it's one of the most brilliant verses is whatever natures that are there, sattvika, rajasika, tamasika, they are in me, I am not in them. Very interesting. He is including sattva also. If he said, I am not in tamas, I am not in rajas, you are okay. But he is saying, I am not in sattva also. Did you think about it? Why is he saying, I am not in sattva also? In fact, this is what I told you before, many people, they say, I don't need all these lectures because I always follow rituals. I don't eat without taking bath. I don't, as soon as I get up, I pray. As soon as I, I am very religious person. I don't need lectures. I'm a very good person. So, in fact, how you are bound, it doesn't matter whether you are bound by iron chain or gold chain. As long as you are bound. Sattva is even more dangerous. That's why I told you, many times what happens is, you will see, my father was an atheist. He never had any puja in my house. My mother also was an atheist, so he never did any puja at home. So by default, I have also grown up as an atheist. Similarly, my father was a great bhakta, my mother was also a great bhakta. 24 hours there have been puja in my house when I was growing up. So I am also a great bhakta. Right? But there are other categories, which is, my father could have been a great bhakta, but I am an atheist. Why? Because I am questioning, I am thinking, I am asking, I am reasoning, okay? And then I am rejecting that there is no God. I am alert, I am aware. A person, even though he is an atheist, a person like Valmiki, I think his name was Ratnakar.
Yes.
Ratnakar, even when he was stealing, and he was a bandit, he was inside questioning himself. Are you with me? Therefore, he was able to jump into realization. Are you with me? But on the contrary, there are so many people who are good goody, sattvic, but they are all lost in sattva. You ask them, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. They are lost in that. They can't think of anything else. You ask yourself, if there is no taker, will you be still secure and comfortable when you are running an NGO to help people? Or if you are doing a good job, wonderful job of distributing woolen blankets to all these people who are in need. Now the whole thing will start now. All the TV channels, everything will say, so many people are suffering, we don't want to like it. Every one of us keeps sending. And there are a lot of NGOs. I am not criticizing, they are all doing fantastic job. But supposing you are doing something like that, let us say. And you find out that there is nobody who is in need of a blanket. Will you be comfortable or will you be agitated? Lot of people are stuck in sattva. The service is more for you than for the other. So therefore, very interestingly, included sattva in this. He just say rajas and tamas, no? If he said rajas and tamas, no problem. What is he saying? Even sattva, I am not in it. In other words, sattva also you maintain only to get to the self, but don't get lost in sattva as an end in itself. Guru is needed for you to go to Govinda. Don't get stuck with Guru. Ashram is needed for you to get to Govinda. Don't get stuck with ashram. You understand? But lot of places we get stuck with ashrams and gurus and this and that. Sattva is even more dangerous. Because, why? It gives you the pavitra ahankar. What is that pavitra ahankar?
I'm so good.
I'm doing wonderful work. And I first start a day without prostrating to my parents. Pavitra ahankar. And the pavitra ahankar is so subtle that it blinds you. You are not in blinding darkness when you are plunged in darkness only. When you are looking at the sun directly also you are in blinding darkness. Yes or no?
You can't see anything.
That's worse.
If you are looking at the sun directly, you can't see anything.
Because when you're
in darkness, that is sattva.
When you're in darkness, your awareness increases in other senses. When you hear, because of that also, your other awareness is also lost.
That's what he's saying. Be careful, beware of sattva also. You may cross from tamas and come to rajas, and from rajas you may cross and come to sattva, and you may get lost in sattva. It's not easy. As you cross subtler and subtler, even in the Chakra philosophy they say the same thing, you come higher and higher, it's even more, entangling. You have to be very careful. Simple thing like, you know, spiritual field, the so-called spiritual field also, slowly, slowly, your following will increase, appreciation comes, slowly you get lost in that. You have to be very careful. This is not my primary thing. In the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji gives the story of a king who had no heir to the throne. So he organizes an exhibition and says, anybody and everybody can participate in this huge exhibition, much bigger than Prakriti Maidan. And he says, I will regret myself and be there inside somewhere. Whosoever finds me first, he will be crowned as the next king. Everybody comes, free entry, and all sorts of things are there, entertainment, there is that, inside the exhibition. People have come there for what?
Finding the king.
But slowly, slowly what happens? They get lost in different stars, movies, what show, this, that. One young fellow, my objective is to find the king. He went into every stall, because king could be anywhere. He went into every stall. He didn't say it's something which I don't like. He went into everything. But all along, what was his focus? Where is the king? Is this the king? Is this the king? You know, very aware. Finally, he came to a temple. There was a temple inside the exhibition hall. And so many people are lost in the idol in the temple. The puja that is going on, the mantra, this and that, the prasad. People are complaining about, prasad also in the mandir, right? So they are lost in it. This fellow said, no, I'll have to be careful. So he scrutinized everything. When the pujari came and gave the prasad, he said, excuse me, stop there. And he looked at him closely and he said, you are the king. And he happened to be the king. So the king had disguised himself as a pujari. Many times, we don't look for these things in these areas. Are you with me? So that's why he says, I am not in sattva also. That doesn't mean he is not saying don't be sattvic. Your goal is not to become good. Your goal is to become conscious. Please understand this. Because when you are good, not necessarily that you are conscious, but when you are conscious, you will necessarily be good. I am not able to give you certain examples because it may be very unconducive, but it drives home the point. Like in life, if you see, the person may be doing certain things which are considered in the society as not so good. But you would probably feel secure when you are with them than with the so-called people who are dharmic from upar. But inside you are not secure. Why? Their dharmicness is conditioned dharmicness. Very interesting. Even though Krishna was married to 16,000 wives, traveling with Krishna you would be more secure. Compared to the so-called people who only live with one wife. You understand? You will not feel that secure maybe. Why? What is the reason? Think about it. This is what he's trying to do. Inside, that awareness is there. These are all conditioned. Society, toda wo conditioning chale gaye. The same thing they'll do. I told you one example, you know, in NDTV or somewhere I saw. One fellow was supposed to have snatched gold chain from one lady. And she immediately alerted, shouted, so the public caught him. And they killed him actually. They were beating him so much. While they were beating him, he died. Now you tell me, who is a worse criminal?
The count.
Till the opportunity you get, you just need sanction.
Yeah.
Your negative comes. We are all judging, sitting and judging people. If you really think about these things in life, you will see, you will see so many characters like that. So that's what he is trying to say here. I am not in sattva also. It's not very difficult for you to understand I am not in rajas and tamas. But he is cautioning you, I am not in sattva also. If you become conscious, your actions will be sattvic. But if you are just sattvic, doesn't mean you are conscious. Brilliantly he says, I am not in them, they are all in me. So in self-esteem also there will be hunger. It is nature that is manifesting, prakriti. Everything that is natural will be there in his body also. So you will not have that conditioning as to this is bad and that is good. It is prakriti. In prakriti, what is good, what is bad? Everything is part of prakriti. In fact, very interesting. If you call certain things as precious, why do you call certain things as precious? Some stones are called precious stones. Why?
Well, they are
there. For example, diamond and charcoal, both are carbon. But carbon is not so precious compared to diamond. Why? See that? Right? In the contrast with carbon, you are appreciating diamond. So, carbon is needed, diamond is also needed. But both, as far as the prakriti is concerned, both are prakriti. In that there is no precious or non-precious things. It's in your
mind.
In prakriti there is no precious or non-precious. The mind has this distinction. Please understand this. Distinction is in your mind, not in prakriti. In prakriti there is no such thing as good, bad, ugly. It's all in your
mind.
So prakriti is there, innate is there. But a person who is identified with Paramatma, prakriti is in him, he is not in prakriti. Prakriti may function, he remains separate. And when you see such people, you are conditioned. You have distinction inside. You have money-mindedness. Are you with me? You will see and say, he is money-minded. Those who criticize, that is why they say, those who criticize the Mahatmas of certain things, usually, if you little bit analyze and see them, their personality, they have the same problem. That's why they're saying it there. I told you an example of a pendulum long time ago. You remember? Pendulum example. In pendulum example, what did I say? When pendulum, the clock, when pendulum is swinging towards one direction, what is it actually doing?
It's going to take that momentum to go.
It is gathering momentum to go the
other way.
So when you are running after money, do you mean you are gathering momentum towards what?
Moment.
Poverty. No.
Think about it. Avantika said poverty. Poverty meaning those who run after, I'm not talking about those who have money, those who run after, there's a difference. Aliva Goldsmith also says, where wealth accumulates, men decay. He's not saying wealthy will decay.
Yeah.
There is an ocean of difference. He doesn't say wealthy will decay. He says where wealth accumulates, men decay. Similarly, when you are gathering, when you are running after money, you are gaining momentum towards what? Poverty. Meaning, all such people, they will be attracted to some Swami. They will have a Swami. But to what kind of Swami?
Money-minded.
Who has no chappal?
Grandma.
Who has no chappal, who doesn't sit wearing clothes, you understand, leads a very simple life, etc., etc. The moment you see that man, somebody is giving some let us say, expensive chappal, some desirable had given him. He is in that Paramatma state. Like in Prakriti, there is no precious, non-precious. For him, it doesn't matter, normal chappal or diamond studded, whatever chappal it may be. He simply wears it. But you are a person who have been running after money. You essentially got attracted to him because he was not wearing chappal. Next time when you go, the moment you see,
this fellow is also a little bit interested in money.
Why is this coming to you?
Because you are
having it inside you. Think about it. Very deeply psychological what I'm talking about. You are accusing that person of money-mindedness. But actually you are
money-minded.
That is why such people are attracted to such things. It's very, very interesting. Very deep. And if that Swami is also really not a true Swami, just a beginner, so he had nothing to him, you understand? And he is not really true Swami, then what will happen? He will get caught. Because if he wears it, he will lose the disciple. But he has interest to wear. He will go back. Because it is dependent on the disciple. So how would you know that he is a true Swami? He is not bothered about losing disciples. He does what is right according to him. It is cold, and when it is terribly cold, somebody gave him a chappal which happened to be the most expensive. He wore it. He had no interest in that. Oh, if you wear it, this disciples will go away. He said, Baba, let them go, I might as well wear it. Then he is a true sannyasi. To find such person is very rare. Please understand. It requires a lot of thought. So what he is saying here is, the small circles are in big circle. The big circle is not in small circle. When you start having a larger picture, the small things will not bother you anymore. When small things are bothering you, which means what? You are stuck at that level. So the idea is not in philosophizing. The idea is to rise to the larger circle level. Have a larger picture. Don't get stuck in the small circle level. So he says, move from tamas to rajas to sattva. But understand that sattva also is not paramatma. You have to go beyond. Next verse.
त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः जगत् मोहितं नापि जानाति मामेभ्यः परमव्ययम् त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः जगत् मोहितं नापि जानाति मामेभ्यः परमव्ययम्
deluded by these natures. By these natures, these includes? Sattva also. He says deluded by these three. Sattva also can delude. What is delusion? Self-destruction. Like Kalidasa was apparently sitting on a branch of a tree and trying to cut that very same branch. This is called delusion. Sitting there and you are doing things which are actually self-destruction. Right? You are doing things which are bringing you stress. So he says, deluded by these natures, composed of these three gunas, all this world does not know me. They do not know me well as above them and immutable. They are all deluded, lost in the perception, emotions and thoughts. You go with so much awareness, very clearly doing well, that you are going to watch a movie. Isn't it? Fiction. Movie is what? Imagination, right? nowhere near. But you are going inside to watch a movie. You booked the ticket, you planned for it, you went. You just want to go and have fun. Go there. And the movie starts. Slowly. Around half an hour ke baad, you are in tears. What has happened? You are deluded. You are lost. You lost that you are sitting there watching fiction. Isn't it? You got involved. You got, this is what is happening in our life. How much ever we study all this, the moment we go, the power of Maya is such that we get deluded. We do things which attract our senses, which attract our mind, and we run after them. So it is deluded by these natures, Prakriti, composed of these three gunas. The entire nature is full of sattva, rajas, tamas. They are so attractive. So tamasic fellow is lost in tamasic world. Rajasic fellow is lost in rajasic world. Sattvic fellow is lost in sattvic world. Isn't it? You go to Banaras as a family, right? Then they say, okay, I am going to buy sari, who want to come? The fellow goes there. Another fellow says, I am going to Vishwanath Mandir. His sattvic desire. Another fellow has other kind of desire. You understand? The situation, environment, world is same, but each one is deluded by their gunas inside. They are attracted to the gunas outside. Guna guneshu vartante iti matvana sajjate. Lord Krishna already said that. Gunas attract gunas. They are lost. Sattvic fellow is lost in Gita class. Rajasic fellow is lost in making more and more for him aggrandizement. Tamasic fellow is lost in indulgence. That's all. But all three are deluded. So it is deluded by these natures composed of these three gunas. All this world does not know me well. Even though I am there, they don't see me. They don't know me well. They don't know me well means what? None of these people are conscious. That is the basic difference between people like Krishna and good people. Please understand this. Bhagavad Gita is not interested in making you good. Bhagavad Gita is interested in making you conscious. Because once you are conscious, you will be good. If you want to be good, go get trained in some conditioning camp. You know, it's a habit, no? End of the day, it's a habit. Habitually you get up and go to Mandir. Habitually you get up and have a cigarette. It's habit. Isn't it? As soon as you get up, you've been habitually having a cup of coffee. It's a habit. Whether you go and have coffee or you have tea, it's a question of habit. Then it's mechanical. Then you are not there. In fact, that is why Gita says you are not living your life, you are being led. Bhagavad Gita is a dharma shastra. It is not a niti shastra. Do you understand the difference? It's not a moral science class. You don't need to be told what to do, what not to do. So a lot of people think Bhagavad Gita is about do's and don'ts. Bible is about do's and don'ts. Quran is about do's and don'ts. None of these are about do's and don'ts. They are interested in increasing your awareness. Temporarily when you see, that is why you think, oh, when I am in the class, I felt so nice. Why? Because temporarily you are seen from the larger picture. Temporarily. When you are with the Sant Mahatma always identifies with the larger circle and sees. So you share his energy for a while. When you share his energy, you are also seeking from that level. The moment you leave him and go, you have lost that vision, that angle, that perception. Immediately it starts affecting you. If you can retain that and always maintain the larger picture, then nothing can affect you. Then you don't need the company of Sant Mahatma anymore. Because now you are able to identify the larger picture all the time. Very simple. You can extrapolate yourself and identify at the larger level and see nothing else. The moment that perception is gone, immediately it starts affecting. There's a very interesting song in Tamil. It's a movie song. The poet has written it very nicely. You know, there is Garuda and the snake. Snake is around Shiva's neck. And the poet says, snake, when it was around Shiva's neck, asked Garuda, how are you? Are you fine? Then Garuda replies, saying, when you are in a secure and safe place, you can ask all these things. That's the case. Things do not trouble you when you are having larger perspective. The moment from larger perspective you come down, things start troubling you. How does this class and everything benefit you? Temporarily, it makes you see from larger perspective. All you need to understand from this is, for a temporary period when I was identifying with larger perspective, if I could get this much joy, why not I permanently maintain that larger perspective? And if you can learn to get that larger perspective permanently, nothing can touch you. Life will be gain. Lots of losses will be there. Loss of gains will be there, but no gains will do anything to you, no loss will do anything to you. And for you to retain that larger perspective all the time, you got to continuously reflect and internalize the knowledge. That's all Krishna is saying here. Deluded by these gunas, each one has lost himself or herself in respective gunas. They all do not know me well. If you want to know me well, I am right there. Like the fellows went to exhibition. There are not. Except one fellow, he only knew me. There are people who are conversing with that puja, you know. Yet they didn't know that it is
the king.
The king. That's what he's saying. They don't know me well. One more thing. When he said, Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, meaning the world is in me, I am not in the world. When you run after the world, you lose peace. When you gain the Atma, you gain world also. They are in me. I am not in them. In other words, those who run after the world, peace is not there in them, but those who have reached the self, material world also is with them. Material world is there with them means what?
Stop hankering. Happy with everything that is.
Whatever they want, they get it. So when you see, it's very interesting. He who loses his self for my sake shall find it. Jesus Christ. If you seek the world, you may get the world, but you lose the self within, the happiness, bliss within. But if you seek the bliss, and you get the bliss, when you get the bliss, the world gets added to you. So who is intelligent? The boy, when he identified the king, he became the king. When he became the king, everything that is sold in the exhibition, all is his. The other fellows, they are lost. They could have bought one watch, they could have bought this, they could have bought that, but they lost everything. Isn't it? It's all Vedanta is trying to say. When you get the spirit Atma within, you get the world as well. All your relationships and everything becomes alright. You will be able to separate your business world and everything. It's like a person who is lost in the desert has got one clue. What is that? Sun's rise. And he sees the sun rising in the direction, he knows that is east. And once he fixes the east, he knows which is west, which is north, which is south, which is northeast, which is northwest, which is southeast, which is southwest, everything. Similarly, all you need to get there, the east within, the Atma within. So they don't know that, they are lost, clueless, without direction. They do not know me well. It means they are all lost in the world, clueless, without direction. It's a very deep verse again. Then he says, they do not know me well. Know me well means they don't know the self. It's boring. They don't know me means they have lost direction in the world. But the fellow who has reached me without getting deluded, he has direction in the very world also, he has clarity. Therefore his worldly things become clearer and clearer to him. He sets right relationships. He sets right his business. He sets right this. They lack, a lot of people lacking clarity. The moment you run after the material world, slowly, slowly the greed takes over. Only one reason they all give, you read many books, only one reason they talk about for the downfall of many big, huge corporations. And what is that one reason?
Greed.
Greed. Nothing but greed. Understand? Huge corporates. Downfall because of greed. Directionless. So he says, they do not know me well. They lack direction in very life itself. In the area where they are running after, there itself they lack direction. But the fellow who finds me, he has clear direction in life. He knows what to do, what not to do. He knows what he knows what he does not know. That is very important to know. So in the area which he does not know, he goes to the people who knows. Just because you are self-realized soul doesn't mean you know how to recall that, treat your body. And something goes wrong in your body, you go to the doctor. You need clarity. So that's what he's saying. They do not know me well. The Atma within, they are lost, they lack direction. So these two verses put together, or in fact, from 7 onwards, when you really reflect, you're not just having knowledge, you're not just having information. There seems to be some transformation. What is the transformation? You are now slowly looking at things from larger point of view. This is what Krishna said, I will give you both knowledge and wisdom. See, wisdom is what, why people always look at it from larger perspective. From the larger perspective, what seems to be lost here is gained there. Isn't it? You paid some money and bought a TV. So, in your, from your account, money is reduced. But the same money has come in the form of television. So in nature, actually there is no loss, there is no gain. So this is why in the 11th verse of chapter 2, when he first gave the philosophy, he said, wise people do not grieve. Why wise people do not grieve? Because they always see from the larger perspective. from the larger perspective, nothing is lost, nothing is gained. Why are you suffering? You lack that larger perspective. You come down from that level, it affects you. You remember another example I've given you with Stephen Covey gives. A fellow was traveling in the metro and it was very quiet. And suddenly one man with two children entered and the children were making so much noise and this man asked, are they your children? Why don't you tell them to keep quiet? It's so disturbing. Immediately he said, I'm thinking of how to tell them because they are coming from their mother's funeral, my wife's funeral. Immediately this man said, let them be. The moment you get that larger picture, it doesn't affect you. Simple. And then it's very difficult. So that's all he's saying. They do not know me well. They don't see the larger picture. They're all lost and in that area. No madman knows that he is mad. So when you are deluded, you do not know that you are deluded. And between delusion and being not deluded, very fine line is there, thin line. The moment you wake up, I was behaving like this, I was creeping about this, lost. I was crying and bringing the whole house down for this. Because now I am seeing the same thing from larger perspective. I had no shoes and complained until I had met a man who had no feet. Until I met a man who had no feet. Larger perspective. Krishna says, I will make you see from the back. The effort is needed for you to retain that vision. If you can retain that vision throughout your life, your direction is set in life. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.
I'm in Bombay.